Welcome to Thoughtfully Us, the space where three therapists of color sit down to talk about mental health, real life, and the human side of healing. We're colleagues, friends, and licensed therapists. And so in this podcast, we're pulling back the curtain on not just therapy, but on being people of color in this field and on the parts of life we don't always get to process in the therapy room. So whether you're in therapy, thinking about it, or just trying to make sense of your own healing journey, we're so glad you're here. A quick disclaimer is that this podcast is for informational purposes only. It is not a substitute for therapy, medical advice, or diagnosis. Listening to this podcast does not create a therapeutic relationship with any of the hosts. Tease up for Thoughtfully Us.
Hello.
Hey, everyone. I'm sorry, everyone. Listeners, Nelly is struggling this morning. I have the giggles, and we've tried to start this podcast a few times, but I keep messing up. So we're keeping this. We're keeping this in.
A thrall. That means you're happy.
Yeah. You know what? Sun is shining. Mm-hmm. Maya and I are making it through this change to the fall season. Yep. We're doing it. We hope you all are too.
Yes.
Luckily, Morgan is unburdened by
unbothered
the impacts of seasonal changes.
Yeah. I was going to let you guys have your moment. That's a big deal.
But listeners, this week, you have heard about Maya and me's seasonal depression and mood changes. You've heard about Morgan's first trimester trenches. And so you've gotten to know a little bit about some stuff that we go through. But we, in preparation for a series that we're starting, per your request of wanting to get to know us, which we'll talk a little bit more at the end of this episode about, but in preparation for that, we thought we would start by sharing things that you might not have known about us or guessed about us.
We also wanted to just kind of go through some, I don't know, would you call them fun facts or more just kind of like therapists, kind of like 101-ish a little bit?
Yeah, I like that.
Therapist 101. And like the shocking parts about what we kind of were able to understand about us as therapists, maybe things we were taught again in school or from experience that we were like, this is great, but it's not really reflecting who I am or who I want to be as a therapist too, as well. A big one for me since I was like a teenager is I cannot do meditation. And that's a big one. I recommend it to people. I think it's great if you're able to do it. I think it really is helpful for a lot of different symptoms. But since, again, I was like a teen, I just have not been able to do it. I just can't shut my mind off. In grad school, we had a class where we would do it every morning. She would make us do meditation a lot. And I would always be like, I don't... nothing's happening here. So I think that was a big thing because I feel like that's definitely in the world. And again, I do like recommend it, especially if people seem to benefit from it or feel like they might be willing to try. I always think like try whatever you can and try things a few times so you know like, oh, it actually works or it actually doesn't. But that's a big thing for me because I was like, I just don't meditate.
I hear you on that. I can't, meditation does not work for me either, but I feel like that's good for us to know because I like will recommend it to people. And like when I've like, just because of it's like the research behind it, but when I've ensured that they're successfully like implementing it and it still doesn't work, then I feel like I'm able to like change and shift things more than maybe other people who would be like, no, this could really help. Because I'm like, no, doesn't what it's like, it doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. What about you guys? Are there other coping strategies or skills in our field that are very common that you don't necessarily vibe with or can't see yourself doing very often?
For me, it's also meditation. Like I can't do it. Part of that is because like my parents are really big on yoga and meditation. My mom is like a professional yoga instructor before, like well before that was like a cool, trendy thing to do. Like I got teased when I was in elementary school that my mom was doing yoga, and like other parents who knew my mom like quit her engineering job to be a yoga instructor were like, what is she thinking? And now I'm sure a lot of
look at the field now.
Yeah. A lot of those people who teased are now going to Pilates and yoga themselves.
He's a pioneer. Yes.
So but because of that, I was like attending yoga classes and doing meditation like retreats with my parents when I was in like elementary school. And I was like, these are so boring. These are miserable. Like, why isn't my mom talking to me? She's like eyes shut but not sleeping. What's going on? So just left a bad taste in my mouth. And still my dad's like, this would be really helpful. You should try it. And I'm like, Dad, you low-key ruined this for me because it just doesn't work. But also just have a plug that as a trauma therapist, like meditation can be triggering for people. Like people who sometimes like being in touch with your body, closing your eyes, like all those things can be really triggering. And so just had to say that.
That's a good point.
Morgan, what about you?
That is a good question. I mean, I think from the anxiety lens, there's a lot of things. There's just so many coping skills to try. So I always try to teach my clients just a variety of things. Things you can do when you're sitting in class or when you're walking or when you're like in a conference or something like that. But things that worked for me don't work for them. But things that work for them, I don't think I ever really tried. And I feel like that's because just the science is always changing of like, what's helpful, what's not. So for me, I mean, I think across the board for a lot of therapists, journaling is something I'll tell clients. And I'll preface it by saying, I know how important journaling can be. To hear your own thoughts, but get your mind, like empty your mind, dump it out, maybe write down the things you want to remember, like in between sessions, things like that. But I'll say, but I personally don't always journal. I don't even know where my journal is, but it has helped me in the past. Mm-hmm. But that's one that's like journal every day for 30, 45 minutes. I'm like, no.
30, 45, that's great. I mean, like, if it becomes that, then I'm, like, lit, but...
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the journals where you, like, it's, like, one prompt a day or, like, one sentence a day or something. Like, they have, like, prompted journals for people because they know our attention span these days.
Yeah. And I think that's why, like, sometimes people will say therapists are hypocritical, and it's not, like... I think that's why we always have to... be approaching when we're like talking about coping skills in sessions, like, that does this feel like something we can add in, and like how do you add it in a way that's sustainable? Because yeah, like we're not sitting here doing all the coping skills possible. Like if I look at even my morning this morning, like as a therapist, I look at my morning and I'm like, we've got a problem solve here. This is not gonna work. And then as Nelly, I'm like, I don't have time or energy to problem solve. And I'm just
going
to burning myself out.
Ooh. And because I work with a lot of, like, historically worked with a lot of teens, and, like, young adults. So something their parents would always want us to focus on was, like, limiting screen time, which I was like, ooh, because I don't really limit screen. Like, I try. But I can give advice. Doesn't mean I use it or take it or it works for me. So that's something that I think about too. Like, do I, you know, I think we talked about time limits on this podcast. Like, do I say more time or ignore the time limits all the time? Do I have a book by my bed to use and read instead of being on my phone? Yes. Have I opened that book since maybe June? No. So it's like things I know I should do that would be better, but I don't necessarily do them.
Yep. We are humans too.
Yes. And of like preaching about self-care, which we've done a lot and we still will do. We're not always the best ourselves at it. Similar to like balancing work and life and all of these things too. I feel like all of us have gotten better. I feel like for each of us, there was times where we were really swamped and like couldn't set boundaries with like work and stuff. But I feel like we've all made strides.
Yeah.
To try to create more of that balance.
And I think we check each other on that. Like it ebbs and flows and we can notice within each other like, oof. And usually like two of us connect and we're like, have you noticed this about the third? And then we're like, okay, let's all hang out.
Yeah.
Bring it to the third and say like, this is, cause sometimes it's hard to see it yourself. You're just doing it and you're in it. And oftentimes you don't feel the repercussions until you've been doing it, but it's cool if you can notice it before. So things that you might not have guessed about us is that we are a mess.
To summarize, speak for yourself.
Okay. Maya and I are, I'm kidding. we're killing it. And life is messy.
Yes. And we're human. So I think that we always bring that back because we're not perfect. And we're always, our field, we're always learning. I think also is something too. And a lot of it is learned experience, I feel like, as well. So like there might be a client where like, wow, maybe this would be good. We might research like certain things that might help this client in particular, which is like maybe new to us. We might get nervous doing an intake for the first time or, you know, kind of being in new settings as well too.
All new, all learning. And everyone's kind of individual. So something like I said earlier that works for someone might not work for the next person. So like how can you tailor it and work together to figure out like what will help you? What makes the most sense to fit into your life? Because clients are fill in the blank.
The expert on their own experiences.
Exactly. They are the experts of their own lives. Huge slogan in the counseling social work world, but it's true.
Yep. Most definitely. So is there anything else you feel like as therapists? Oh, I think this is another one. I feel like people don't, like we're nervous. We are like, before we meet with you for the first time, if it's our first session or we're calling you back, like we're nervous. We're nervous to that, like about what we're going to say. All I trip up on my words, like I often do on this podcast. And I'm like, inside, but outside, not so much. Or maybe, I don't know. So we are nervous still. And no, I think no matter how long or how confident we feel in something, we're still going to feel nervous with it.
Nervous and also feel like we're not, like we don't know what we're doing sometimes. Termed imposter syndrome, which comes up a lot. I'm just like, do I have enough knowledge? Do I have enough skills? Am I good enough to work with this population of this issue? Or after how many years have we been? 2019. Oh, I can't do math this morning. I think we're closer to 10 years than we are far away from it, from being in the field. Even still, I'm like, am I doing this correctly?
Yeah.
Am I a good therapist?
Oh, question we asked ourselves. And there's like no right answer, right? Because we could be a great therapist to someone and like a not great fit for someone else. And that's the tricky part, but it's making sure, like, I think finding fit is so important, like finding the right fit and constantly evaluating. Like as a trauma therapist, I worked with people for a really long time, and it's easy to kind of just like get in our swing and of the work we're doing. And I have to like constantly evaluate, like, this was really helpful to them in the beginning. Is this still helpful now?
I feel like I was trying to think if my nerves change if it's in person versus virtual, because I do both. But I feel like it's kind of the same. It's just like getting to know someone. And usually, of course, I've talked to them before for like a discovery call, but it's very different in, of course, in real time in session too. So, but I definitely feel like I do get a little nervous as well too. So that is a big thing for sure.
Yep. What about talking to like other colleagues in the field or networking? You guys get nervous or have like imposter syndrome?
We know that you're the networking queen, Morgan.
Definitely get nervous. And I think it's, well, I think we all feel that way at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we're all nervous talking to the other person, and the other person's like probably really nervous and we don't notice that. I feel like when we've gone to, well, except Morgan, I feel like you're not really nervous when you network.
I'm always nervous.
What? If you're ever, Morgan works the room. If you're ever nervous about networking or like, bring Morgan along with you. She will help you. So let us know if you guys like would have guessed this about us, that like we're nervous. We have imposter syndrome. We struggle to use our own coping stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or like maybe not even about us. Let us know if like you recognize that maybe about therapists in general or like your own therapist. Because I do think it's helpful just for the relationship that everyone recognizes that like everyone's human in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And so personally, like I said, we're starting a series. What's it called?
Meet the host behind the mic.
Meet the host behind the mic. So a lot of you have mentioned like wanting to hear more about something that one of us does. And it's, I think we're always trying to navigate with the podcast. Like we want to talk about like our role as therapists, but also like we're just three people, women of color approaching this world. And so we've tried to share a little bit about ourselves in our episodes, but there's three of us. And sometimes that, like, we can't dig that deep. So we are starting a series where there is going to be an episode kind of designated for each one of the hosts, where we talk more about and, like, ask some questions about both, like, professional stuff in the therapy world and also, like, our personal selves. So to kick that off.
Yeah.
We thought we would explain a little thing about ourselves that you might not have guessed or known. If you're listening as a friend or family member and you do know these things, you still might be interested.
Yeah, very true. So it was kind of hard to think of like a fun fact or something, I guess, like we said, no one else knows.
Yeah.
I don't know really if mine are something no one knows, but I think sometimes it can be interesting. So I'll go first.
Go.
So I, as discussed in other episodes, like love music. I think it's wonderful. It's definitely like a fun fact I've shared, even though I'm like, is it even a fun fact? I just like music. But anyway.
You're a musician. Okay. Anyways.
Yeah. Whoa.
Maya Morgan will be like, we love music. And like, the people who know them obviously know that they are very, very musically talented, but I don't know if all of our listeners know that. So I'm going to yell from the rooftops.
Yes. But in, I think it was middle school maybe, I taught myself how to play guitar. And then I ended up taking guitar in high school, but by then I already had a guitar. I already knew like a few things, but I wanted to like tune up my skills, I would say. But that was cool because Morgan and I from a young age started piano. I think we were young. Yeah.
Right.
7 or 8. And so I think that helped because of course chords and everything, you know, notes are the same, but I think it helped learn that first and then be able to kind of translate or understand guitar a little bit better. So I think that was helpful and cool. I don't play guitar much now, like ever, but sometimes when I'm thinking of like, ooh, self-care, I'm like, maybe I could add that into my routine. So maybe that will be like a spiral season strategy for me too. The other one, which I feel like, again, some people know, is when I was young and from like kindergarten till whenever they stop asking you, what do you want to be when you grow up? I would always write, I wanted to be a doctor. And Grey's Anatomy came out. I was too young to watch it, but our mom would watch it. And I remember seeing it some like snippets occasionally. And I'd be like, what's this? I need to do that. And kind of be there. And then of course, when I was older and I watched it, I was like, this is amazing. But I hated science, math too at points, but there, I remember taking chemistry and I thought it was cool, but I was just like, I cannot do this. Like and then I was done. I was like, all my dreams and aspirations and hopes have died in chemistry. So I stopped. But then, of course, I kind of went back into the field in terms of doing social work in the hospital, which I was very lucky to do as a graduate student and then as a real licensed professional. And so that was really great. And getting to know my specific doctors and nurses and being able to learn so much and be a part of so many cool things, like research and just care conferences, and they just always were able to answer my questions because I really wanted to understand more than just like the social work aspect, but I really wanted to kind of understand like the medical long-term aspects too. And so that was really great. And I'm always, you know, like, wow, what if I had become a doctor? Yep. But I didn't, and I'm okay with that.
Yep. Fun fact, Maya and I worked at the same hospital.
Yep.
In New York City. So we got to do all our orientation and like trainings together.
Yep.
Which was a lot of fun. And we did not realize how, I feel like we took advantage of that. We didn't realize how fun that was at the time.
We definitely didn't.
You guys did.
Yeah.
All the time I would get texts of like, there's food in this office. Oh, we have a training at this time. Oh, let's leave early. Let's go walk around. Let's walk. Central Park. I was like, what?
Because it was, we were so close to like parks and stuff. And yeah, they had a lot of food for events. So and we were off on Fridays. So,
oh my gosh.
Goodness.
You guys will hear about Maya and I's adventures on our Fridays as broke college, graduate students. That's a story for a different time. But just know it was a lot of fun.
I'm shaking my head because of their adventures that I hope they do share some of, because it was wild.
Morgan was victim to some of our the things we would get into on our off Fridays. She was victim to saving us out of some of them, so we will discuss one day.
And they're probably like, the listeners are probably like, what are they talking about? I just want to know, I was not off on Fridays. I had to go in and I worked after my internship. So I wasn't off till like 5, 6, maybe 6.
I feel like it was later because you did your internship and then you worked after.
Yeah. I think I was off around 6. I can't remember. That was so long ago.
Yeah. Crazy.
Thanks for sharing the fun facts, which I kind of knew and Nellie knew too. But something Maya didn't mention is like when I tell you guys Grey's Anatomy is all Maya watches sometimes and the amount of times she's probably seen the show, at least seasons 1 through 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The amount of times she's seen seasons 1 through 10. I don't even want to know how many times.
I don't know. I can do all like the trivia too for it, which we win. I dragged them, or maybe at least Morgan, to a trivia one time.
Shonda, get Maya.
Shonda, you have a fan in me, but I stopped at 10. So, and I've seen some episodes here and there of more recent because it's still on. It will outlive us all.
Mm-hmm. Shonda will pay for her crime.
Yeah. But I don't really keep up with it much now.
Yeah. You'll get back. That's momentary.
You'll watch it like tomorrow. Like,
yeah.
beginning. All right. Nelly, you're up.
Okay. Something people may not know about me is that I love to run. I feel like people would call me a runner, maybe, but it feels weird calling myself that because I had a high-risk pregnancy, and so I was on, like, rest for the first 22 weeks. So, and then prior to that, I was doing IVF and was told I couldn't exercise. So I went the longest I've ever gone without running recently, so that feels very odd. But yes, I ran high school track. I ran track in middle school and in elementary school. I ran my whole life. I was not always good at it. I got good at it in the last, like, since like 2014, I would say. In the last 10 years, I got a lot better. And I love it. I love it so much. It's my happy place. It's my happy thing. I think so many people would enjoy it if it was explained better, that it's really, like, not about how fast you go at all. It's about what feels good. And some of my best friends are the ones that aren't being tracked at all, where you have no idea how long you've gone and you're just doing it to feel good. So yes, I love to run. Mm-hmm. I wish I could be doing it every day right now, but life is a little busy, but making time for it. Exercise still has felt good. So I feel like that's one thing. And the other thing that I definitely most people do not know here, really only my family and my partner know this, is that I competitively sang Indian classical music most of my childhood. I quit a little bit before, I don't even know, honestly. But I was not, it was before I was 18. I was a child.
When okay.
Yes. And then I haven't sang since.
Well, you have sang, but not like that.
Not trying to sing.
Yeah.
Not trying to sing. Which was, like, interesting that I just sang mainly, like, Indian music, because I also have been playing piano since elementary school. Mm-hmm. I stopped playing piano, though, early, like, in middle school, probably. But my brothers both play and are very talented. But I would, like, try and sing with that, and, like, it felt so different to me because it's different than, like, singing Indian music. But, yes, I competed a lot. My weekends were filled with that. My dad was a huge pioneer in dragging me all around the state of New Jersey, sometimes out of the state competing. And then when I go see my family in India, I was forced to perform all the time. So I just was like, I'm never singing again if I don't have to. It became a chore, and I really haven't actually sang since then. So yes, I don't think many people would have guessed that about myself, because I honestly forget about that whole chapter until recently. I was at my childhood home, and there was, like, all these trophies everywhere, and I was like,
oh.
I've gotten rid of a lot, but my dad would tell anyone and everyone who will listen that I sang and was very good.
Oh, hopefully we can hear you sing again.
Yes.
No promises.
Musical talents. That's why we're all related.
Yes.
I also think for your running, which is cool, is that you run throughout every season.
Oh, yes. Winter, fall and winter runs are the best. I run, like, hot temperature wise. And so winter runs feel like the best ever, because after, like, the first 10 minutes, you're warm and you're outside, and it really, really, really helps my, like, mood changes with seasonal changes. Mm-hmm. So I love running outside during any season. I would actually say the seasons that people like most are my hardest seasons.
That makes sense. I have a question though, since Maya mentioned something.
Yes.
When you were asked what you want to be when you grew up, what was your answer?
I also wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer. Now, many people in my life tell me I would have been a good lawyer.
Clicked.
But I think, I don't know if that's a compliment or it just has to go with how direct maybe sometimes I can be. So not sure about that. But yes, I also wanted to be a doctor. And then my brother became a doctor. And I was like, whoa, that is really hard and expensive and a lot of exams and a lot of anxiety. And he's an incredible doctor. And is our family's personal doctor as well. We contact him constantly to ask questions, and he's the best. But seeing him do it, I was like, oof. So then I would tell people I wanted to be a lawyer, but somehow I'm here. No, in college, I like majored in psychology, and then I really liked it. And then I had a professor who was a social worker. And I was like, wait, that looks like my jam.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to be here.
Love that. We have the same story with the professor who was a social worker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you should consider social work school. And I was like, what is that?
Yeah, literally.
But here we are.
Here we are.
What's your fun fact, Morgs?
So I have two, I guess. I'll start with what you wanted to be when you grew up.
Mm-hmm.
I was always voted. I don't know why people were voting in elementary school, but I was always voted most likely to become an author.
I can so see that.
Reminded me that in fifth grade, I actually published 2 books.
About what?
Morgan, what are you?
Maya, you remember? I was in like a gifted and talented little thing, but I published 2 books. They were 2.
I'm sorry.
Like,
where are they now?
Tale-esque creative writing books. I have them. They're somewhere in my bin of stuff. So I have 2 published books, which is cool. And ever since that, I was like, oh, maybe I actually could be good in this whole writing thing. So I love creative writing. That's why I think I love like TV and movies. I just love like stories and reading. But then someone was like, oh, you're going to be a doctor one day, like an academic doctor. And I was like, oh yeah. And they're like, and you'll be an author. I was like, oh yeah, I guess that's true. So maybe my dream will come true.
Maybe. Wow. I need to hear more about your published books.
Yeah. You need to find them and read them out loud.
Yeah.
And I need to find them. I'll find them and I'll post a picture of them because we had to draw our own like illustrations in the cover, and I'm so bad at drawing, and so but I think the story was pretty good.
Morgan Eisman, yes. Author, publisher.
Yes. So that's a fun fact people might not know. The second thing, which I guess ties in with stories, is theater. Since I was in elementary school, since we saw The Lion King on Broadway, I think it was touring here or something, I was like, that's what I want to do. A mix of singing, acting, and dancing. Then I realized, like, I don't have that kind of voice, but I still love theater. So Maya and I did theater in elementary and middle school. Super bad anxiety, so I never had, like, a role, like, a real, like, main character role. So I just, auditions, I would just not do well. Looking back, I'm like, dang, if I only knew. I had anxiety back then. Mm-hmm. But it was still fun, like just that community and just creating something and the hard work and effort it took to create a show. Just great. And so I still love musicals. I still love Broadway. I'm going next weekend to see Hamilton with Leslie Odom Jr. in New York City. I'm so excited. So I just love musical theater.
If you are surprised by Morgan being a theater kid,
then
definitely tune into her our series, because that fact is really not that surprising if you're
not at all.
At all. So that if you're surprised by that, that is the sign to definitely tune into her episode to make sure you are understanding who Morgan really is.
She is. Also, yeah. I wasn't in theater in elementary school.
Maya's face when you said it, it was
you like, were, because I remember seeing you in the Secret Garden.
Yes. Oh, why did
I wasn't in theater.
But you were in middle school.
Yeah. For lunch. Okay. Yes.
Maya said, do not call me a theater.
I know, so they threw me in with that.
And Maya, you a theater though? I went to all of Morgan's shows.
Of course.
And you did theater in high school in the class.
Oh, I took it as a yes.
Yeah. So I was like, you didn't do theater.
Morgan is trying so hard to make Maya a theater kid, and Maya is saying,
yeah, she's like, absolutely not.
Sorry. But my twin was, so.
She will not claim that energy.
I know.
Whatever. I do love theater and musicals, so.
There you go.
There
and
you
Wicked.
Go.
Ooh.
Oh, yes. We will talk about Wicked on the podcast whenever it comes out.
Nellie is shaking in her boots.
I know.
I will share my unpopular thoughts then.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that should be fun. But yeah, so let us know what you guys think about our fun facts.
Mm-hmm. And also you can ask us questions if there's anything you might want to know about each of us
too. Yeah. So we'll definitely do a poll. So we'll do a poll on Instagram. There's going to be a lot on Instagram of like opportunities to ask us questions about what you're going to like, what you'd want to hear. We have some questions already. Mm-hmm. But we would love, if you want to hear more or have questions, this would be the time. So send them our way. And if you miss something on our stories, then just send us a message on Instagram.
There you go. Thanks for listening to us talk about ourselves. And I will find those books. It's going to be a mission.
Please do.
Please. All right. Well, then we'll see you next time.
Tease up.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's conversation. We hope you felt seen, supported, and maybe even laughed a little along the way. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a new one. And we'd love it if you left us a rating or review. It really helps more people find us. You can also connect with us on Instagram @thoughtfully_us and let us know what you want to hear about next. And remember, while we're therapists, this podcast is not a substitute for therapy. If you're struggling, please reach out for support from a mental health professional in your area. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.